the church probably most of this year, and more often lately. And it's just Nadine's got a story of just God touching your life, and we need to hear that. Some revelations coming tonight. So let's reach out, pray for her as she speaks. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Nadine. We thank you for the journey that she's on. We thank you that you're with her, that you're in her life, and she's here with us now. And Father, I just pray that you'd really anoint her message and her thoughts, and just pray that she'd be calm and relaxed and really enjoy bringing this message tonight, because she's got something from your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for everything and for helping me put this together. That during that worship song, how it said freedom, it spoke of freedom, and aren't we so fortunate to have the freedom to just love Jesus? You know, there's so many people in the world that can't declare their love for Jesus, but we can. So I'm going to start. My name's Nadine. I was born in 1967, which is about 50 years ago, and I was born in Waiuru, army camp. My dad was in the army, and my grandparents were in New Plymouth, and they were my dad's adoptive parents, but they were really strong Christians, so I was quite fortunate to have strong Christian grandparents. They were my safe place when I was growing up, and when I was about 13 years old, my nana died, so all of a sudden my safe place was gone. My dad served as a soldier, and he served in Malaya, and then Vietnam, and then Singapore. And my whole family went to Singapore. And that was our first sort of family mission together. But however, while we were in Singapore, my parents' marriage deteriorated, and eventually they separated. And so that was the beginning of the roller coaster for my life of what was about to occur. I experienced physical, mental, and sexual abuse. And for a while, I didn't really have my father around. But then I went to go and live with my dad. And my dad had this, I think, good foundation upbringing and Christian values, that he recognized something wasn't right. And he took me along to this East Coast Bayes Road Church, where I ended up getting baptized. After a while, some problems started happening in the church, and I was about 18, and I ended up falling away, and I ended up spiraling down. I started spiraling into the world, and then eventually hell. I was living overseas, and it got to the point where I was dreaming and having nightmares. I was seeing demons. I had anxiety. I had stress. I couldn't sleep, had horrendous visions, and eventually I came back to New Zealand. That was after a friend had almost died from a drug overdose. But when I came back to New Zealand, I began my whole life again, and I started a new relationship with God. At that time, God spoke a word to me, and I don't know if we'll see it, but it's, I'm giving you beauty for ashes. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And straight after that, I did a teaching degree and I became a teacher. But then in 2011, I had another setback. This time my dad died, and he died on the 17th of September 2011. He died on my younger brother's birthday, and I thought, as I was going down to my dad's funeral, I went to look for my brother. My younger brother was phoning up, and he was in Christchurch, and I didn't know he'd passed away the night before my dad. So I remember, I can't explain the grief, and I can't explain how you can deal with it. I just remember I was in the world, but I definitely wasn't of the world. I was sort of more in the spirit. And I said to my brother and my father before they died, I'm going to go to Israel. That's one of my goals. I'm going to get to Israel. And I remember at that time I had to keep moving. I was more worried about losing my mother because she had every disease under the sun. She had heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease. And I just remember I had to keep moving. So I went back to Auckland, picked my mum up, flew down to Christchurch, buried my brother, and I just kept moving. And then when we came back to Auckland, I ended up taking my mum to the East Coast. I didn't know anything about my whakapapa, and I found out my mum was a descendant of the chief, the Ngāti Porou, and also Te Whānau Apanui. And we were there for 2 years. And then exactly 2 years to the date they both died, I was at the Wailing Wall in Israel. And I remember turning up there and meeting all these Jews. I travelled all by myself, which was really unusual for a female to do. And I think for the first 3 days I was under interrogation and that, if I was an Iranian terrorist with a big camera. And I was at the Wailing Wall, and there were three places in Israel. Everywhere Jesus went, there were three places that really stuck out. And one was the Wailing Wall, where I think every Jew, that female Jew that was there, was like looking at me because I was just like letting it all out. And the Wailing Wall, the reason people go there is because the Ark of the Covenant used to actually sit on the other side of the Wailing Wall, and that's why they believe if they touch the wall, they're coming close to God in God's mercy seat. And then I went everywhere that Jesus was. But the two places that stood out for me was Gethsemane, and I think there's a PowerPoint. Gethsemane. I went everywhere. They take you everywhere. They say, oh, Jesus was buried here and Jesus was buried there. But when you can discern the Spirit, and you know, it's like when you're in church and the pastor will say, presence of the Lord's here, and you just know, you can feel it. Your eyes start weltering with tears. When I went into this place, I just wept. I was there for about an hour to an hour and a half, and my eyes just wept. And I had a Muslim tour guide, and he was like beside himself. He didn't know what was wrong with me. He was like, are you all right? Are you all right? But this place, you felt his presence in there, crying out to God. He's not there. But wherever Jesus and you felt his presence is, it's an amazing, I can't explain the experience. It's like being in church and you feel his presence come on you. So that was the first place that really touched me. And the other place, even though I went to Tiberias Camp and all that, was this place and the next place, the Garden Tomb. So God told me to go to Israel. Everyone used to say, why are you going to Israel? God actually said, I want you to go to Israel. And this place changed me. I went into the tomb and it's like, if you can imagine being at God at his most vulnerable point where he's been broken, you know, and the whole thing was like, wow, you lay here broken and you just lay here and I'm here and I can feel your presence broken here, healing. And unless you're in there, a lot of people always come out of there different. I came out different, and I ended up going back to my hotel room. I bought all this anointing oil from like frankincense and myrrh and scarves, and I was in my hotel room all by myself playing Beautiful by Darlene Check. I don't know if you know that song. And I was just in this state, this presence. I still had his presence with me. I could still remember it. And I got a knock on the door. And it was this lady, she said, I think my son's in here. And I went, oh, no, no, your son's not here. And then the Lord said to me, give her a bottle of anointing oil. So I gave her, I was like, you know how you just want to give everything away when you've been in that state. So I just gave her this bottle of anointing oil, and I gave her a scarf because I brought scarves like anything. And she just burst into tears. And I was like, it's okay. I've just been in the tomb. She's like, I'm going to the tomb tomorrow and I'm giving Holy Communion. And she was with a big army of South African Christians that just flew into Israel after coming out of Turkey, and they were on their little exhibition. And so she was going there. And we sort of connected there. Anyway, I better get back on track. So those are the three places that really touched me. And what that did for me was it cemented my faith in the Lord. Nobody will ever tell me that what I learnt in the scriptures from my grandmother and what I know of Jesus, he is not real. He is so real. And he is coming. And like when I came out of Gethsemane, I walked straight out the doors and I was still crying in this Muslim tour guy's like, are you okay? And he was following me all around. As you go out of Gethsemane and you look up, the road going up goes to the Eastern Wall, the Golden Gate. Now, I don't know, I couldn't find the scripture, but in the scriptures it says, when Jesus comes and he rides over the hills, he's going to go through the Golden Gate, which was sealed. He was the last person to come through that Golden Gate, and it was sealed on the donkey. For those that remember. So he's going to come through that wall. And I'm standing in front of it looking at this wall going, come Jesus, I can't wait till you come. You were in that tomb, but you're going to come back through here. And he was still like looking, are you all right? But, you know, Jesus is real and he's coming. So that was it. I ended up leaving Israel, came back to New Zealand. And while I was in Bethlehem, I saw a little boy and I couldn't help the little boy. And it was then and there I decided I was going to be an international advocate, child advocate, where you fly in and you save children, you bring them out and bring them back to New Zealand, a nice safe place. So I started in 2014, I came back, started a law degree at Waikato, and I only managed to do 2 years of that, so I finished at a diploma. And then in 2015, I had another down year. I was jobless, then I became homeless, then I ended up bankrupt, then my mum died and I became an orphan, and then I think after that I started getting stressed and sick. And so I had all these five things happen to me, and then I came to Raglan, and I kept coming to Raglan on and off, and I kept coming to Raglan because it was sort of like my healing space. Every time I came here, God would just heal me again, and I'd be like, what's happening now? Why am I going through this? And then there's that scripture in Matthew 25, 35. Sorry, I've lost my notes. It says, is it up there? Oh, yeah. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Well, I ended up at the food bank. I'd fed homeless people in Hamilton, but I ended up at the food bank, and that's where I met Marion. And Marion gave me a word. She said to me, I see you in your own little place, and you're in a garden and you're sitting in the garden. And at the time, I got a rental and it all fell through. But now I've got that place and I've got that garden. So I sit in that garden and there's not much there, but I really appreciate that space. And then I met Bonnie Lee and she invited me. She said, come along to service. And I said to her, did the Lord tell you to say that to me? I've got a feeling the Lord told you to say that to me. And because I'd been floating amongst churches, I was sort of like searching. And then I met Marie, and I got some counselling and got everything in divine order and perspective again, and I'm still working on it. And she invited me as well. And then I managed to get work again, back teaching, relief teaching. It's in Auckland, and I have done one day at Te Uku, and that was amazing. There's such lovely children at that school. And then I needed some prayer over my place, and I met Pastor Roger and Cheryl, and I think that's it's just been a healing process again. So here I am, and that scripture, and I don't know if I've got it, forgetting those things that are behind us, and I have got it. Yeah, now that I've already obtained all this. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now I want to get established in my faith. And for me, it's walking with Jesus. I know, I always read the final chapter of the Bible. That's my holding on to, if anything. And I look at that and I think, Jesus is coming. And there's only two pathways. You're either going to go one way or the other. And people say to me, are you lonely? And it's like, no. I would never want to end my life because that's not God's way. But I want to see my family. I want to see my mother, my brother, my father, and my grandparents. And so for me, it's until the Lord comes, and I'm just going to keep on pressing forward. And there is another scripture that just came to me just then, and it was, anything that is not of God's will is going to be consumed by fire. So why waste my energy on anything else? And if I can get away with it, I'll play worship music in my classrooms and stuff like that. And I have learned, if the children talk about Jesus, it's okay. So I'm now not going to pull back. I've always pulled back and shrunk back from the Lord, and I'm not going to pull back. I'm really comfortable in this church. I love how I can just come in and quietly and humbly sit down. And I was going to finish with Ephesians 4, but it is such a long scripture. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, and to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. For him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. With a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off your falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. That's it. Oh, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Oh, so, and I, when I read that, I was like, yes, I need to do this. This is where I want to be. I don't want to be around nasty and what else there. I want to be around that. So thank you.